some of the sweetest words you'll ever say.
Oh, I forgive. Open your Bibles to Romans in chapter 15. I'm glad you made it out tonight. I'm going to do my best to preach from the Word of God.
Amen.
Little Brother Layton came up to me. Apparently I preached short enough for him last night, but he decided he has enough authority to pick the topic. And he said, Brother Brent, you got to preach on hell. And I kind of looked at him. He says, No, I mean heaven. I mean heaven. Yeah. Preaching on heaven. One old preacher said, I'm gonna preach on heaven tomorrow. And why you ain't going? They were tired of him preaching on hell all week long, so he decided to fix their goose, huh? Romans 15 and verse 4. Let's stand and read the Word of God. And I'm going to let you read it. I'll just listen. Amen. Brother Christ, would you pray for us tonight? You may be seated. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. One of the greatest blessings that we've ever had is we have the Scriptures in our language.
Amen.
We have the opportunity in the confines of our home to open up the Bible and we're reading the very words of God.
Amen.
God did not have to speak to us, but He chose to speak to us, and He gave us His Word in English. I'm thankful for that. It's not just in English. It's in Polish, too. It's not just in Polish. It's in German, too. It's not just in German. It's in Spanish, too. Thank God His Word is going around the world. I want to look at the phrase in this particular verse where it says, written aforetime, were written for our learning. You know what do us all good? To get some learning. Some of us, our daddies have paid for the books, and all we do is we go to school and we just rip the covers off the book. We don't learn anything. But you know, there's some learning we can get from the Word of God. I remember I attended the University of Texas here in San Antonio when it was a small university. Very small. And I remember in one of our classes, one of the professors asked us, how many of you believed in creation? There was probably 150 students in that classroom, big old hall, and a bunch of us raised our hand. We believe in creation. And then he asked the question, how many of you that believe in creation have read something of Darwin? And there was about 8 of us that raised our hand and said that we had read some things about Darwin. And he said, now I have respect for you few that raised your hand at the end because you read both sides of the fence. And then he went on to make his point, and I raised my hand. I said, I have a question, Professor. He said, what's that? I said, well, let's flip the coin. Let's ask how many of you don't believe in God, and then ask those that don't believe in God how many of them have read the Bible. Why don't you get both sides of the viewpoint so you can make a decision? I don't have a problem with you reading Darwin. I don't have a problem with you reading Dawkins. I don't have a problem with you listening to the opinion of somebody else that's contrary to the Scriptures. The Bible says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is true.
Amen.
You know, we ought to open up the Word of God. And in the psalmist said that the testimonies of the Lord have given me more understanding than all my teachers.
That's right.
You know what they're doing tonight? There's people all over this world. They're sending rocket ships out across the universe trying to find out the origins of man. They're spending multi-millions of dollars to put a man on a moon. They want to put a man on Mars trying to find water, trying to say there's some other form of humanity or creatures out there in the universe. They're digging holes in the ground. They're searching all over Africa looking for the origins of man. You know, if they pick up the Bible, they'd figure it out right quick. Amen. And it wouldn't cost them so much.
Amen.
Look over in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Glad you got your Bibles tonight.
Amen.
Down there about verse 5 it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And look what the advice of God is. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, if there's a nation on the earth that's ever learning, that's Poland. You know, they have a socialism over there where the young people have education from about 3 years old all the way through the university as high as they want to go. And it's all paid for by the government. They're ever learning. And I mean, you find 30-year-olds, they're still learning. Still going to college. Why can't you come to church? Well, I have the university on a weekend. They're ever learning, but they're never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Look what Paul said in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, but he gives some advice to young Timothy. He says, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom that thou hast learned them. You know the problem we have in our universities and our schools? You can't believe everything they say. If you're a teacher, you have the responsibility to teach the truth. Let me say that again. If you're a teacher, you have the responsibility to teach the truth. A lot of things that goes under the heading of education is not education. It's just a lie. It's deception. Not everyone that carries a Bible in their hand and opens the Scriptures is telling you the truth. Now, when they read the Scriptures are true, but their interpretation of the Scriptures is not always true. I remember, might have been Bill, or maybe it was Joe. I think it was Joe. Brother Joe and I in Mexico years ago, we were preaching on the street, coming to a family, a very large family of Jehovah's Witnesses. They invited us in their home to open up the Word of God to find out what the Scriptures say about Jesus, who He is. We said that He's God Almighty and manifest in the flesh. They said, no, that can't be. He's just the Son of God. He's a created creature. He's not Almighty God. Almighty God is Jehovah. So we had a showdown. They said, would you come back next week? We're going to invite our teachers. They're going to come here. They know more than us. And we'll listen to both your sides and make a decision then. All right? Fair enough. They invited their head honchos over, and we met with them again. Sat down. Of course, they tried to control the conversation. And so did we. So I made a comment that we know that Jesus Christ is God Almighty because the disciples that knew Him best worshipped Him. One of them young men said, never in the Bible does it say that Jesus was worshipped. I said, what? He said, the Bible never says that Jesus was worshipped. I said, what? Yeah, I said it three times. I said, what? Would you say that again? I said, in the Bible, Jesus is never worshipped. And I said, all right, and I turned the Bible over and I said, let's read this verse. And it says that they worshipped Him. And he tried to change the subject. I said, wait a minute. Didn't you just say, and I asked the family that invited us, I said, didn't he just say that in the Bible, Jesus has never worshipped? He said, yeah, that's what he said. Then he tried to change the subject. I said, wait a minute. We're not going anywhere until we get this issue cleared up. Did you not say that in the Bible Jesus was never worshipped? And did we not just read the Bible where Jesus is worshipped? And he hung his head. He says, well, yeah, that's right. And then he wanted to change the subject. I said, we haven't finished yet. I said, what does that mean? That means you were wrong, right?
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And he wanted to change the subject. I said, we're not going anywhere until we finish this. Yeah. Were you wrong on this point? He finally admitted it, he said, because he realized that the conversation was over unless he admitted he was wrong. He said, all right, I admit it, I'm wrong. And then he wanted to change his up. He said, hey, you already admitted you're wrong. He's no use listening to you. I want to listen to somebody that's right. But there's a lot of people ever learning. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, that's that guy right over there. Maybe not. Maybe you're thinking, that's that guy that, you know, I was trying to get to come to church tonight. That's him. Yes, he's ever learning and never able to come to the truth. I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to you.
Amen. Amen.
Did you think I was talking to him? I'm not talking to anybody outside this room. I'm trying to reach all the people way back at the law, if my voice will make it. I'm trying to get you in the back row as well. I'm not trying to miss anybody here. And what I mean by that is we as believers are ever learning. But we come to the place to acknowledge the truth. Let me carry one step forward. Do we come to the place to live the truth? I don't know about you, but I find I got a lot of doctrine in my head. And I got a lot of right answers. But I found the difficult thing in my life as a Christian is to put that doctrine that's up here in the head, let it move down in my heart and move in my emotions in my life.
Amen.
You got the same problem I do?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Look over in 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Paul says, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured in knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We learn from people that know the book.
Amen.
And if somebody's teaching you and getting their doctrine from somewhere outside the book, we have no responsibility to believe them.
Amen.
Now, if what they say agrees with the book, if it agrees with the Word of God, that's fine.
Amen.
But if it does not agree with the Word of God, then we have no responsibility to believe them. Look over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Excuse me. I want to take some time tonight and share with you some things I've learned. I've been saved for over 37 years by the grace of God. I've learned a few things. Look what Paul says here. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. You know what I learned? I was born in the state of Michigan. I learned to be content in Michigan. I came down to Texas. My wife tells everybody in Poland I'm just a wannabe Texan. Because they asked me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Texas. And she says, he just don't want to be Texas. But I learned to be content in Texas. Went down to Mexico and learned to be content in Mexico. In the states of Guanajuato, Jalisco, Aguascalientes. I learned to be content. Went all the way over across the Great Pond to a country called Poland. I learned to be content there. But, you know, it used the word state, but I don't think that's what it was talking about. And I did that on purpose because I wanted to remind you something. some things that I learned. Now, what God Almighty spoke from heaven to the prophets, was that the Word of God?
Yes.
It was the Word of God. When God Almighty spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased," was that the Word of God?
Amen.
It was the Word of God. When the prophets of old got their quills out and they wrote or etched the Word of God in Hebrew, was that the Word of God in written form? Yeah? Are you still with me? Later on, supposedly, when they wrote the New Testament in Greek letters, and I've been told that they were all capital letters, smashed together with no spaces, was that the Word of God? Yeah? Eventually, when they came around to translating it in English language, was that the Word of God?
Amen.
Is the Word of God in the form that I have right here in this Bible?
Amen.
Nice big print for me to read.
Amen.
Is that the Word of God?
Amen.
Some of you got little Bibles with little tiny print that I couldn't read myself, but is that the Word of God?
Yes, it is.
Are you still with me? I'm going to make a point here in a minute. When they translated the Bible into Polish, was that the Word of God? They got modern technology, I understand. You can get the Word of God right on your telephone. You could punch in on your telephone and pull up the Bible, and there it is. Is it the Word of God on the telephone? Are you still with me?
All right.
We take the Word of God.